Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. It's wonderful to see everybody here tonight. If we could find our seats, we will get started with the service. And once you've found a seat, grab a hymnal, and we're going to go to song number 259 together for our first song this evening. Song number 259. Song 259, Jesus Saves. Song 259. Let's all sing that out tonight together. Singing, everybody. Let's open up the service now with a word of prayer. Lord, we love you and we thank you once again for this awesome church. Thank you for everybody gathered here and allowing them to come here safely tonight. We just ask that you help us lift up our voices and sing unto you with all your spirit, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, for our next song, let's go to song number 455. Song number 455. Sung it a couple times already this week. Oh, perfect love. Great song doctrinally. Song number 455. Let's pay attention to the words as we sing it this afternoon. Oh, perfect love. Let's all sing that out together.
Thank you.
All right, welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand nice and high, and one of the ushers will find you and bring that around to you. At this time, we'll go through our announcements. On the front there, we have our verse for the week. If anyone under the age of 18 can quote that to a non-family member, they can receive an ice cream reward after the service. On the inside, we have our service times and our soul winning times there for the church and also the regional soul winning times. Below, we've got our stats. Those are updated up through a couple hours ago, so keep up the hard work in soul winning. So far, doing a great job for the month of February. Also, we've got our list of expecting mothers. And also, there is an insert in your bulletin, if you noticed. We have a congratulations to Pastor and Miss Carrie Shelley on the birth of their daughter, Evelyn Bell. Evelyn was born on Monday, February 23rd at 8:56 p.m., weighing 8 pounds, 6 ounces, and 20 and a half inches long. Let's go ahead and give them a round of applause. Just keep adding to the church daily almost, it seems like, around here. I love that. And down below that, we have our Texas A&M College Soul Winning Marathon that's going to be taking place. There's actually going to be soul winning on Friday. Brother Diego is going to be heading the charge on that. And they'll be meeting there at the Academic Plaza on campus and go soul winning from 4 to 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, they're going to be doing a marathon all day. And they'll be meeting at the Bee Creek Park there in College Station. The church van, for those who would like to go that aren't going to be there on Friday, the church van is leaving Saturday morning at 6 a.m. So make sure that you're able to get up, set that alarm, get here at 6 a.m. And Brother Foley, he's going to be driving the van down. And so definitely put that on your calendar as something to partake in, get involved in that college soul winning. I'm definitely looking forward to that myself. Also on Friday at 8 p.m., we have the Man of God movie premiere. And I'm telling you, I'm chomping at the bit to watch this movie. I've heard so many good things about it. The trailer was awesome. It's going to be a great time of fellowship as well. And so I encourage you to be here. Again, Pastor said the movie is starting at 8 p.m. sharp. So make sure that you're here for that. There will be some goodies for you as well. And so definitely encourage you to show up even just a little bit early so you can find your place for that. We have the children's choir practice beginning this coming Sunday, March 1st. On the 7th, that following, I believe that would be the following Friday, is that correct? The Foley baby shower is going to be on March 7th. And then March 21st, we're going to do another soul winning marathon in Carthage, Texas. And Brother Sam is going to be heading up that as well. And so if you're interested in going in to that, we'll get a sign-up sheet in the foyer for you guys to sign up for on that. And I'll try to have that out there on Sunday. We have the Soul Winning Mega Marathon April 4th. That's the Saturday before Easter. And then, of course, Easter Sunday, April 5th. And then the Children's Choir is going to be performing on April 5th as well. So definitely looking forward to all those things. On the back is a note about the baby shower for the Foleys. If you have any questions about that and you want to attend, please contact Ms. Southard. We have the prayer list below that, so we'll go ahead and go through that at this time. We're continuing to pray for Brother Tony's back. That it would continue to heal. Also, Brother Sue Hill's mother's health. We've got a couple prayer requests for Brother Billy Day. We're praying for his mother. She's having surgery in the near future, pretty severe surgery, so make sure that you're keeping her in your prayers. Also, his cousin Adam and his wife kind of dealing with the death and then the care of their children, and then also his son as well. Continue to pray for Brother Spurgeon for a job opportunity. We're praying for the Urbanic family, for their grandmother, and then also for Miss Natalie and the baby. We have a prayer update for Miss Ginger. Her niece, April, is now home and recovering, so praise God for that. And also Brother Nick, we're praying for his brother, for his salvation and health. We're praying for Brother Brian and his tooth problems. Brother Matt Illy as well from recovering from sickness, which I think he's doing much better, so praise God for that. And then also we have Brother Philip Hackenberg. He wants us to pray for his wife. So at this time, I'll go ahead and say a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for all the many blessings that you give to each one of us. Lord, you take so good care of us.
And we're thankful for that. God, we're thankful for just all the things that you're doing here in this church. God, we have many prayer requests here on this list, many of them dealing with various health issues. God, I pray that you would be with each one of these individuals. God, I pray that you would strengthen them. You would be with the doctors and those that are giving them health advice. Lord, pray that they would give them wisdom to make the right decisions. God, I pray for other issues going on in people's lives, Lord. And we know that you listen and hear these prayers and you answer these prayers, Lord, and we're thankful for that. And God, I pray that we would, as a church, continue to serve you and to put you first in our lives, Lord. We're thankful for all that you do and pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll go to our psalm of the week. I believe it is Psalm 119. Psalm 119. All right, that was Psalm 119 in your black binder. Psalm 119. So I'll sing that out. Singing, everybody. Let's, as the offering plates are being passed around, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1.
That is the book of Joshua, chapter number 1.
Joshua chapter number 1, the Bible reads, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest, him he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be in church. Thank you for all the soul winning that's been done. Thank you for Steadfast Baptist Church. I pray that you'd be with Brother Spurgeon as he preaches us your word, that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit to preach unto us. And I pray that we'd receive it with an open heart and make applicable changes to become better Christians. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I would first like to thank Pastor Shelley for the opportunity to preach tonight. And we're just going to jump right into it here in Joshua chapter 1. The title of my sermon is this, Observe to Do. Observe to Do. Let's look at verse number 8, where the Bible said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, in Joshua chapter 1, what's going on is that the physical nation of Israel is getting ready to enter into their inheritance. But in order to be a successful nation, they're going to need to observe to do all of the commandments that God has given to them. So what does it mean to observe something? To observe something means that you need to see it, you need to watch it, you need to perceive it, you need to notice it, to regard it, or to comply with it. The antonym of that means that someone is ignoring it. So, for example, if I observe a law, it means I see that law, I have the intention of keeping that law. If there's a holiday that I observe, it means I keep that holiday, like I keep Thanksgiving. If there's a holiday that I don't observe, it means that I don't regard it, I have no regard for it. So this is important for many reasons, but one of the things is this. When you keep God's commandments, you are not going to be grieved. And when you don't keep God's commandments, you will be grieved. But above that, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit either. And 1 John 5:3 also tells us this. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." So in order to observe to do his commandments, we first need to know what his word is. And that means that you need to read it. You need to actually see his word. You need to actually see what his laws are. And many people out there, they just don't want to see his words. They don't want to see his laws. They don't want to know what his commands are. But let that not be us. We should know what his commands are. Because the deal is this, God's laws, his commands will affect you whether you like them or not, whether you want them or not. They're still going to affect you. So in order to know this, first of all, you got to have the right Bible. You need to have the preserved Bible, the King James Bible. You don't want a Swiss cheese Bible, a Bible that has holes in it. You don't want anything like the Legacy Standard Bible, which is younger than 1, 2, 3, 4 of my kids. So you need to read the Bible. You need to know the law. You need to know what it says. So, you know, go home, get your Bible off the shelf. If it's been there for a while, blow the dust off of it, open it up. Download a King James Bible app onto your phone is an easy way to do it. Use the audio version. If your car's like mine and it still plays the CD, you can get the Alexander Scorby CDs and listen to it that way as well. But however you do it, hide his word in your heart. What did David say? "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." So once you know what his word is, you need to meditate in his word day and night, because not caring about his commandments is setting yourself up for failure. So we're going to hop over to the book of Psalms in several places. Let's go to Psalm chapter 40. In Psalm chapter 40 and verse 8, the Bible says this, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." So David had hid God's word in his heart, and he delighted to do God's will. So if you want to delight in doing God's will, you need to know what his word is. And this is something that I think we already do, because we know, like, one of God's commands is for us to be out soul winning. And I don't see people out soul winning going, "Why are we out here?" We all know why we're out there, because we know the commands. But people who are maybe ignorant of it, maybe that's just one of the reasons why they're not in the frame of mind to go out and do it. It's just because they're ignorant of it, and we need to let them know about it. Psalm 119, verse 70 is the next place that we're going to go to. Well, let's go to one more before that. Psalm 119, same chapter, but verse 97. He said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Of course, David was a king, and he had a nation to run, and he wanted to run those nations according to God's commandments. But this applies to us as well, because when we're going out throughout our daily lives, we need to make our decisions based off of the principles of the Bible. And that's not just going to come by letting anything flow through our minds. We have to actively think about his commandments. We have to actively meditate upon his word. And hopefully sometimes as you're going throughout the day, you know, other things that are going on are just a distraction until you can get back to his word and get back into his word. Psalm 119, same chapter, but verse 70 says this, "Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. So there's a contrast here between people whose heart is fat as grease and David delighting in his law. And what this verse tells me is that gross people don't delight in the law of God. And I'm talking about spiritually, okay? Psalm 119, verse 72 says this, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." It's better to have the law of God in your heart. It's better to know his commandments than it is to have great riches. Psalm 119 and verse 142, he says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." If you want to know the truth when things are maybe a little bit cloudy, you just need to go back to his law. You know, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And we know that all the scripture, every verse, these are things that we need to know, and so that we can do them as we're going throughout our lives. Last one here in Psalm 119, 150, he said, "They draw nigh that follow after mischief, they are far from thy law." So even just from a carnal standpoint, people that would be out there wanting to break the laws in society, they want to be mischievous in society, they're trying to be far away from the law. They're trying to do things out on an island somewhere. They're trying to hide what they're doing. They're trying to be far away from the law. But for us, it needs to be the opposite. We don't want to follow after mischief. So what we want to be, we want to be close with God's word. We want to understand so you know what his word is, so that you can observe it, but not just observing it to do it. That is the point. So don't observe what the Bible says and then not do it. Because for us in particular, when you don't do what God commands, we're going to get chastened. And I don't know about you, I would rather have as little chastening as possible. So it's also like this, the example of looking into a mirror and then you see the problem with yourself and you're not fixing it. But when you're made aware of the problem from the Word of God, you need to fix it. Don't sweep it under the rug. Don't be haughty about it. Don't be stiff-necked about it. Take the correction and fix the problem. And then hopefully you won't have to go through the chastening. So again, 2 Timothy 3:16, and I'll read it for you here, says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." And we know that these things were written for our admonition as well. And Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So if you love him, you need to know what his commandments are. You need to keep them. You need to do them. Observe to do them. People who don't love him, they're not going to observe to do it. So what I take from that is this: don't let your conscience be your guide. Let his commandments be your guide. So it also means this: there is no command that is too big or that is too small. So let's go over to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5, we're going to go to verse 19. The Bible says this: "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So if someone is teaching men to break one of the least of the commandments, that person is the least in the kingdom of heaven. And so this verse shows us several things. Number one, it shows us that, yes, there are great and least people in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, you know, in your Bible, this is red letters. I'm looking at black and white here, but this is red letters. This is something that Jesus told us. So those that do and teach the commandments shall be called great. But those that are breaking it and teaching against the commandments, they're going to be the least. And we're talking about saved people here. We're not talking about the world here. So if there's someone out there who's teaching against God's commandments, you can know that they are the least in the kingdom of heaven. And that's why you want to observe to do according to all that is written. And I'm going to give you an example of someone who's teaching against the commandments. This is in the Bible, Revelation chapter 2. Go to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to hop over to verse 18. Revelation 2:18 says this, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast until I come." So a couple things here is that you have a church, and these churches in the New Testament, it's not like they're ignorant of the things that Paul wrote or ignorant of the things that John wrote. They're a lot closer to it in the time frame than we are for sure. And you have this church that is suffering. That means they're allowing this woman, Jezebel, to preach. And notice that it says, "That woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess." That's not what God called her. That's what she was calling herself. So she was teaching God's servants to commit fornication and to eat things that are sacrificed unto idols. And in verse 22, God brings up those that are committing adultery with her. And so she's teaching against several of the commandments of God here. And I can't think that they wouldn't have observed them. They would have known the commandments, but they're not doing them. Matter of fact, they're going quite the opposite direction with it here. And I'm going to give you the commandments that she's teaching against. If you want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." And also Deuteronomy 5:18, where the Bible says, "Neither shalt thou commit adultery." So these are things that she's teaching them to eat things that are sacrificed unto idols, which is something that was already explicitly addressed by the apostles. And not only this, but you can't eat something that's sacrificed unto an idol when you don't have an idol in the first place. And the Bible already told us not to have graven images. We're not to have, you know, a graven image of a baby Jesus or the saints like a Mary and a Joseph. We're not Catholic. This is idolatry. And the Bible also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this is another one of the things that she is teaching against. 1 Corinthians 6 says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So here's the thing. The people that were listening to her, they're listening to her podcast, they were taught against what God said. Then they broke God's commandments, and that was her intention. And this is exactly what the devil wants to do as well. First of all, the devil doesn't want people to get saved, but then people who are saved, the devil wants them to be ineffective. And I'm sure if he can make you the least, he would want to do that. So don't follow Jezebel, shut it off, and observe to do according to everything that he's commanded us. You want to be a doer of the word. So in contrast to that, I want to show you an example of someone who did well. So go to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree." Just real quick, did you notice who they left out? Sounds like Daniel wasn't involved in this meeting. And just for the record, you know, who was the best president ever? Daniel. He's one of these three presidents. Just want to point that out, okay? All right. So he said, "The counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." So when the government during Daniel's time made a law, made a decree which was against the commandments of God, what did that change for Daniel? Not a thing. Daniel still prayed. Daniel still gave thanks to God. Daniel survived the lion's den. Daniel is great in the kingdom of heaven. Daniel's, I believe, one of the 144,000 that gets to come back and do more soul winning. So we need to be like Daniel. We need to dare to be a Daniel. The Bible does tell us to pray without ceasing. We're supposed to pray about everything, and we're also to, in everything, give thanks. So if the government says that it's illegal to say that the Jews killed Jesus, we're just going to say the Jews killed Jesus because that's what the Bible says. We're going to observe to do all things that he's commanded us. So we might even have a conference about it. So we need to keep praying like Daniel did. We need to keep giving thanks to God. And look, going through life, if things are going well, if things are going too well, still observe to do what he's told us to do. And when things are going wrong, when things are going sideways, just stick to his commandments. Sometimes the only way around is through. So just stick to your guns like Daniel did. So here's some things that we need to do. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says this, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." So there's some that have the manner of forsaking church. They're just not in church. You hardly see them around. But the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to forsake the assembling, and also that we need to be exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, meaning that the closer it looks that we're getting to the time of Christ's return, we need to have more church. We need to be in church more often and not less, because you're going to be strengthened in the inner man when you are bringing in his word, and when you're not bringing in as much of his word, you're just going to be weak spiritually, and that's not the position that you want to be in. And Jesus told us again, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what that means is if you love Jesus, you're going to be in church. And if you don't love Jesus, then I guess you're just never going to be in church then. And being in church is not like this billboard sign that I have to see when I'm driving over here, going past the Cedar Hill State Park, that there's a billboard sign up over there from one of these non-denom churches, and it says, loving Jesus in all seasons. Anybody else have to see this sign? How are they loving Jesus in all seasons? First of all, do you even know who Jesus is? Do you know his word? Are you keeping his commandments? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not to mention that the billboard sign is contrary to the commandments of God, even in its messaging. And you say, which non-denom church is this in Cedar Hill? I don't know. But for the sake of argument, let's just say that it's Heritage of Hyper Grace Community Bible Church or something like that. And let's talk about the hypocrisy on that for a second, because, you know, Joe Jones up in Idaho, he used to preach that he wanted to make one of the non-denom churches in Boise quit. That's what he used to say. And now he is a non-denom church. So he didn't subtract a non-denom church from Boise. He shut down a fundamental Baptist church, and then he added one. Yeah. And I guess, as you could say in chemistry for any chemists out there, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the precipitate. You say, what's the precipitate? It's dross, okay? Yeah. So, and why did he do that? He did it because he doesn't love the Word of God. That's what it boils down to. All right, another thing that we need to do. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, you know this is the Great Commission. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we know that God's word told us to teach all nations. And we're not just hearers of that. At this church, we're doers of that. We go out, we do the soul winning, because someone's got to take up the slack for all the churches that aren't doing it. So, and on that note, I got one for you. Knock, knock. Oh, that was lame. Knock, knock. No, he isn't. He quit soul winning. He shut down the church. He left and everything. He's not doing any soul winning. Pastor Who's not there. No soul winning, no church. And it makes me mad that someone would take a good church with a good name, Pure Words Baptist Church, and would drag that through the mud. Yeah. Yeah. But thank God that the core members from Pure Words, they're still down there. They're still doers of the word, because Houston needs it. And we don't need Houston to turn into a spiritual wasteland. And along those lines, too, let me say this. I think it was just last year, I was listening to a sermon from another church, and I heard someone say this. They said, I would rather skip soul winning than, or they said, I would rather skip going to church than skip going soul winning. Let me repeat that to make sure I said it right. They said, I would rather skip church than skip going soul winning. But here's the problem with that. These things are not mutually exclusive. It's not like we're having church and soul winning at the same time. You don't show up at the door and it's like, hey, do you want a map or do you want to stay for service? These are at two different times, and we're commanded to do both. And the problem The problem with that, too, what bothers me about it is this, is that if you quit church, you're eventually going to quit soul winning, too, because you're not going to be exhorted to continue doing the work. That's just the long and short of it. So you should be here, and you should observe to do all things that he's commanded us. All right, another thing that we need to keep doing, go ahead and find the book of Amos, chapter 5. Amos chapter 5 and verse 15 says this: hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. So in talking about observing to do the things that he's commanded us to do, another thing that we need to do is keep hating the reprobates. And look at this verse, 5:15. Hate the evil, love the good. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Well, we want God's grace as we're going through life, so let's continue to hate the evil. You say, like who? Well, like the wicked people in the Epstein files. And the wicked people who aren't releasing the Epstein files as well. Let's go to Proverbs 8:13. Proverbs 8:13, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So we are to hate pride. And it doesn't matter whether, you know, as far as this world is concerned, whether it's in season or out of season. You know what? I'm still going to hate the idea of a Pride Month. I'm not in favor of it. And I'm also going to continue to hate the fag flag, the fake rainbow that they're flying. And I'm going to continue to hate every homo, because that is observing to do what God has told us to do. And, you know, even when it comes to the people that protested us, guess what? They protested us, but we won. Where are they at? We're here. Where are they at? Psalm 97 and verse 10. Go ahead and turn there. Psalm 97. It says this: ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. So even though we went through all those protests and everything, you know, God preserved us. And who delivered us out of that? Who brought us through that? God's the one who delivered us out of that. All right, some things we need to continue to do. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, the Bible says this: therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So being a doer of the word is not in vain. And I want to show you that too in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, 9, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That means that it's not always going to come right away. You don't want to faint when it gets hard. So be steadfast in doing well. Be a doer of the word. And this is something that I know, if you're observing to do what he said, then you're not gonna fall to moral sin. It's not going to sneak up on you. It's not going to creep up on you. It's not going to come at you sideways if you're observing to do the things that he's commanded you to do. And look, there's two types of congregations in the world today. There's those who don't give a rip about what God said, and there's those who care about his commandments. And we don't want to be a congregation that is going their own way. So look, I don't want to be on the wrong side of things, going against what God told us to do. So just a couple of examples on that is, one thing is that God has commanded us to discipline our children. And let me just say this. You know, when it comes to qualifications, a pastor is qualified because he disciplined his children. If someone's not disciplining their children, then they wouldn't be qualified. And I'm kind of sick of grown men who are married and have their own kids complaining about how their dad's chasing them growing up. We were all chasing growing up, okay? So, and when it comes to marriage as well, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Do you want to be on the side where they're trying to tear apart what God put together? Not me. I don't want to be on the wrong side of God when it comes to that. And you're married until you're buried. That's how it works. That's a till death marriage. So that's observing to do what God has commanded us to do. So let's go back just real quick to Joshua chapter 1 there. And I want to read this verse to you again. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And how did this work out for these guys that were here with Joshua? Well, what happened is that while they were there with Joshua, while Joshua is leading them, they're observing to do the commandments, they're going into the land, they're gaining that inheritance, they're having success. And then, after Joshua passes away, all of the elders that overlived Joshua, they continued to observe and to do the commandments. They continued to have good success. But what happened after that, and this is, you can find this in Judges chapter 2, I believe it is that there rose up a generation that knew not the Lord. So either that means that they weren't being taught what the commandments of God were, or they were being taught and they were just the ones who didn't care about it. And then what happens is we go into the book of Judges is you have these ups and downs where they're not observing to do what God said. They're going into bondage. They're crying out to the Lord. And then they cry out. God gives them a deliverer. They follow the commands. Things are going well. Things get too good. They stop observing to do what he commanded them, and things start going south for them again. And that continues all the way into the book of Kings. They go into the book of Kings, and you have good king, bad king, good king, king who doesn't care about the commandments. Until what happens, you get to King Josiah, and when you get to King Josiah, they have forgotten about the commands. They had to go digging around to even find the book of the law. So we don't want that to be the case with us. We want to hide God's word in our heart, and we want to observe to do according to all that he's commanded us to do. So whether you are, you know, whether you're a man, woman, boy, girl, if you're going to go through life and you're going to be like a Job who loses it all, or you're a King Hezekiah who has to die from a sickness, or you're a John the Baptist who dies in prison, this is what I know, is that any man of God who observes to do according to all that is written shall have good success. So I don't know about you, that's what I want. I hope that's what you want. So let's observe his commands, but not just observe it, make sure that we do it. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your commandments and your principles that you've given to us. Please help us to observe to do what you have commanded us to do so that we can have that good success that you want us to have. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, for our last song this evening, let's go to song number 404. Song number 404. When the battle's over, we shall wear crowns. Song number 404. Let's all sing that out together.
Am I a
everybody, you are all dismissed.